kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. We all know this very well, but there's something that I'd like to share with you on this. And it says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. And I'm calling this teaching today, I magnify my word above my name. I magnify my word above my name. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. I believe David, in his trials and tribulations, and he went through much, as we know, is seeing a number of things as he's growing with the Lord. And he's seeing the faithfulness of God. He's seeing how God delivers him and brings him through. He's learning also and having revelation of God's word as God is revealing himself. You see, David is in many ways referring to God's greatness and his power. And all of this gives us an understanding why he says what he does here. Where he says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Well, to get an understanding of this, we need to look a little bit more into scripture. And let us look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, which says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. It's interesting that the revelation, the understanding of God, in many ways represents himself, his word, his person. And what I believe David is revealing here is a deeper understanding of God, that personal side that God reveals to us, so that we are not just reading words, reading scripture, memorizing and so forth, but that he's showing the reality of himself through his word. That is why, of course, we need to be a new creation and baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that we begin to experience the word of God. And our experience causes us to express and speak out many things with regard to God, with regard to his word and his presence and so forth. We all say it. We say it in our prayers. We say it when we sing choruses and we sing hymns before him. We are expressing our experience, our love for God, and how, above all, he's revealing himself. You see, David is also seeing that there is no other God. There is only one true living God. You see, he's having a greater revelation of Yahweh under the old covenant. And when you magnify God, you magnify Christ. And when you magnify Christ, you magnify his word. You cannot separate God. You cannot separate the glory of God. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit who ministers to us from God. They are all one and complete in themselves. That's why we have that understanding of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the analogy that we give, the nearest analogy to try and explain this profound mystery, is that he is one divine spirit who eternally manifests as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they all agree. And they all are one. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that is God speaking to us. They are all in agreement. When God leads us and guides us, when God delivers us and heals us, the Godhead is present. They are never divided. They are one, complete. And the Holy Spirit represents the personality of the Godhead. Jesus said, I will come back to you. So he has come back to us through the Holy Spirit, ministering himself to us. And yet he is not separated from the Godhead. Indeed, when Jesus was in his humanity, he said, didn't he, I and my Father are one. I do only that which the Father reveals. So he revealed that unique oneness in all they do and say, in complete total agreement. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. As he's working with us, he's bringing us into the oneness of Almighty God. So that we also experience where we do only that which he reveals. That we are coming to a place where I can do nothing unless he reveals, unless he guides, unless he leads me. And that's why the deeper life is about yielding over to the Spirit. It's not fighting, resisting God when he's working on areas of our life or areas that need still crucifying. Instead of fighting God, just surrender and give over to the power of the Spirit that will take over. Remember, I shared this several times, but I'm going to bring this up again because I think it's worth mentioning. Many years back when I began to preach the deeper life, God gave me a vision of a puppet with strings. And I watched that there are a pair of scissors that came and started to cut each string. And the last string, when I looked at it, I heard myself say, well, that last string that'll be cut, the whole puppet will drop to the ground. And then the scissors cut it, and it did precisely the opposite. Suddenly, that puppet became alive. It was able to move as God wants it to move, instead of being manipulated, controlled by strings. And a lot of those strings is our unbelief, our rebellion, not wanting to trust God, to let go. We fetter ourselves. We allow the enemy in to buffet, to confuse, and so forth. But praise God, we keep coming. We keep listening to the word. And why do we listen to the word? Because God says, I magnify my word above my name. Let's look at some other scriptures to remind ourselves exactly what David is saying here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 and verse 14 to 18. 14 to 18 of John 1, the Gospel of John, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at all any time. The only begotten Son in his bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So we see then that the Word of God is Jesus, and he was made flesh so that we heard the Word of God. We saw the Word of God. So we begin to get a clearer understanding when it says that I magnify my word above my name. He's not really, in a sense, saying my word is greater than my name, because we know that every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. But he's saying, because I came in the flesh, I am the living word. This is what it means. I'm lifted up. You believe upon me. We get another illustration of this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. We're talking about God says, I magnify my word above my name. Here he's saying, Colossians 1 and verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So we're getting this idea, we don't separate any of this. We're not going to make a booth and we're going to call this the Word of God because he magnifies it above his name. You see, that's what religious man does. When you start to have a greater understanding and revelation of God, you cannot divide God. Man wants to divide him, but you can't. He's one divine spirit who eternally manifests as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are complete in themselves. They move together, they act together, they speak together. Everything is together in complete harmony and unity. There is the idea of fellowship, the word koinonia. And that is what the Holy Spirit does when he baptizes us into the body of Christ. We start to experience that oneness where we come and we agree. We all sit under the banner of Jesus Christ. We all partake of that heavenly manna together, so that we share in that unity and oneness with the Godhead. You see, these are the deeper revelations of fellowship. And we need to understand this, brothers and sisters. And that's when we all move in agreement, in harmony, in oneness. Because we are one with the Lord, with the Godhead, in other words. What does the book of Hebrews tell us? Hebrews chapter 1. I want the scriptures to really speak on this. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. God, who at all various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has in an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So again, we see in Christ's flesh, in his humanity, he is now raised up a new humanity that is better, greater than even the angels. And he's exalted himself in the presence of Almighty God, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father as a mediator, as the high priest interceding. That is the role that he has taken on. Didn't have to, but he did. For the sake of you and I, for the sake of his body, so that he can supplicate, intercede for us, ministering to us the grace and mercy of God. This is why God magnifies his word above his name. And this is why we hold on to the word, because this is the revelation of God's word. He watches over his word. He has made no mistake over his word. There are many who try to dissect the word of God. There are myriads of books about God's word. Many of them with unbelief, questioning this revelation of 66 books that God has given us, which is his holy word. The Bible is God's revelation to us. We don't need any more, we don't need any less. And this is why he magnifies his word above his name. God makes no mistake over his word. This word is absolutely imperative. Why? Because our lives depend on this. Our making it into the kingdom of God depends on this. Our future, our eternity depends on this. And God does not make a mistake. For he values a soul so much that he gave his son. He gave up his life in which to redeem us. That is how important God's word is to us, and he's made no mistake over it. And this is why the powers of darkness try to attack the word of God and continue to do it. And sadly, you've got people in the house of God who call themselves Christians. They even attack it as well. This is our source of faith and belief. And brothers and sisters, we are going to value this word as we see the days getting darker and darker. We are going to value this word as we see the word heals us from sicknesses and diseases. We may not be able to go to doctors much longer. We might not be able to have medicines that we rely upon and have done. We are going to be thrown on God's word. And we're going to see that he magnifies his word above his name. And this is why faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And remember, the early church, many of them were illiterate. They didn't even have Bibles. They weren't able to read these promises like you read today. And yet look how impoverished the church is. And yet in the times of the book of Acts, they were turning the world upside down with their faith and their belief, because they were thrown onto the word of God to trust the word. And there's nothing like trials and persecutions to throw God's people on his word. And you will see he magnifies his word above his name. Hallelujah. And this is why the Word of God is being unveiled to us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And see what I mean when I by this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is what the Word of God does. Now, do you see a word that sticks out to you in that verse? I've read this verse many, many times. I've preached on this many times. But like everything, there's a time and a season when God opens your eyes to a deeper understanding and revelation. What's the word here? It says, the glory of the Lord. That is what you see. He says, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror, what? The glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord transforms or changes us. There's that word metamorphosis, to change into the same image from glory to glory. So the glory we behold of God, that glory changes us into the same glory into Him. There's the power of God's Word as we minister and listen to the Word of God. So do you see that word glory? It simply means that the Word must change me. That's why we take the Word of God seriously. We pray over this Word. We pray for the Word that's going to be ministered to us in our meetings. For the very purpose, because the glory of God that is in His Word is going to save, deliver, and heal me. That's why. It's changing me into the image of His Son, so that I can stand on these promises and not doubt. That's what it's about. God wants you standing on these promises, and those promises that you've got underlined and marked and whatever, He wants you standing on those without any doubt. Because He magnifies His Word above His name. That is what He's working, brothers and sisters. And that's why He says in Hebrews chapter 2 that He's going to bring many sons to glory, perfect us in His glory, in His presence. Not all will, not all want to behold this glory, but the sons of God, the overcomers will, because they're hungry for the presence of God. They're hungry for His Word. They're not fighting about the Word. They're not confused over doctrine. They allow the Holy Spirit to teach them. That's what it's about. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this to the Corinthians, was learning about this glory, the glory of God seen in the Word, seen in our lives, seen in the church. And what did he see? Well, turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, you all know it well, and verse 14. Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The King James also reveals that God forbid that I should glory or boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. So he sees the cross When he sees the cross, he sees Jesus. And he glories in the cross that it would do that work. That it would be seen in his body, in his life, in his walk. And it's the same work he's doing with us, brothers and sisters. As we yield over and we allow the Holy Spirit to crucify those ungodly things that do not please him. And he's doing it, and he will do it, because a cross is for one purpose, to die on. And we take it up daily and we follow him. As I bring this to a conclusion, let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And here it speaks about the Melchizedek priest, which I believe was the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. And here, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, it says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men to things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. But thank God he had mercy on us because we were going astray. But he identified with man's weakness and unbelief. And praise God, we're here today by his mercy, praising and worshipping him because he identified. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honour to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become the high priest, but he was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" And it goes on. Now, the idea of glory, it means to honour, to acknowledge, to honour. And he says, we get the idea of this in verse 4, "And no man takes this honour to himself, but he who is called by God." And that is what it's about, brothers and sisters. We do not take this honour, this glory to ourselves. We will be glorified as overcomers, as sons, but that will be in glory. But we do not take this glory to ourselves. We give all the glory and honour to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we magnify his word above his name. And we need to glorify him in our belief, in our confession, in the word of God. This is why maybe there is not the healings and deliverances and answers to prayers as there should be, because we are not glorifying him. Or we may not yet have seen this glory that he speaks about in his word. But we've just said to you back in 2 Corinthians, it's being unveiled to us. Do you know that God's unveiling this teaching to us today? So that we can see more in this and the Word of God. Of course, what we've spoken of there is obviously speaking in his flesh. And that is why, as I close now, back in Psalm 138 and verse 2, I believe that in many ways that's messianic what he's speaking about there. I magnify my word above my name. It's speaking of the future when Messiah was to come, when the word was made flesh. That is what it's pointing to. And so we see that we cannot separate any of this. When we speak of Jesus, we speak of his word. And when we speak of his word, we speak of the Lord. We speak of the glory of God. And we must see the glory of God in our faith. You must experience the glory of God when you stand upon the word for the salvation of your loved ones, your family, the restoration of your marriage, or healing to your body, or your finances that you need, or food on your table. Whatever it is, we must see the glory of God in His word. And when we experience the glory of God in His word, you can confidently ask in His name, and He will give it. For what? His glory. That's why He says, as yet you've asked nothing yet in My name. Ask that My Father may be glorified. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It's about God's glory. It's not about your efforts. It's not about trying to believe. We try too much to believe with our faith. And that's why it doesn't work. Because we've got to learn to magnify the word above His name. It's about lifting this word up. Lifting it out of these pages, lifting it from our unbelief, lifting it from our circumstances into praise and worship and thanksgiving. That is what God's word is about, brothers and sisters. And don't resist the Holy Spirit. Let Him teach you this. Let it become your experience. Possess the word. Let it be your life, your food, what you stand upon. Because we need this word now in these last closing days. Mark my words. And this is going to sort out the men from the boys. Those who desire God, who desire to glorify Him and desire that glory to change us. In other words, we're desperate. And there's nothing like one who is desperate, because things get done. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You that as You have revealed, You magnify Your word above Your name. Oh Father, we thank You, Lord. We know flesh and blood cannot reveal this. Our confession, our belief in the word of God is supernatural. It's not of this world. And we can confidently stand upon Your word. Whatever the circumstances, whatever it looks like, whatever the enemy's saying, however we're feeling, all of those things are just emotions. Here one minute, gone the next, but Your word never changes. And we thank You, Lord, for it.
Let Him in constancy follow the master.
Jesus.